Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best time of year when it comes to sports talk. We had the sports equinox yesterday with every major sport in action. We have the World Series going on. We have absolute chaos in college football brewing right now with some of the most high-profile jobs now up for grabs. So we have Denton Day filling in for Jenks today. And over the next hour, we will get you caught up on everything that happened in Monday Night Football between the Commanders and the Chiefs. We'll do a little sprinkle of World Series talk. But in this segment, we will go to Baton Rouge and welcome in Hunt Palmer of the Hunt Palmer Show of 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge to talk everything Brian Kelly. And then there are so many layers to this story where it feels like only at LSU do you have the governor involved. You have all of these like other cultural things going involved to where I know people talk about like fit mattering. It especially matters. It feels like at LSU, and it just did not feel like Brian Kelly was a great fit.
And the best way to spell fit Chelsea at LSU is W-I-N. And that's unfortunately something that Brian Kelly did not do a lot of. And that's really what led to this. You can't lose the way that he lost, and you can't have your stadium quieted in a night game at Baton Rouge. It's not allowed there. Like that is a tough place to play, and they got dog walked by Texas A&M. It was a tough watch.
Yeah, especially a game you were leading at halftime. That's the worst part. So let's bring in Hunt Palmer now because we have a lot to talk about and there's many chapters to this story. So here he is now. He is Hunt Palmer, host of the Hunt Palmer Show of 104.5 ESPN in Baton Rouge. So Hunt, let me ask you, what do you think is the wildest detail of this entire saga of Brian Kelly being fired?
The wildest detail. I'll say this. I've been in Tiger Stadium a lot in my life. I have never seen a scene quite like I saw on Saturday night where LSU's fan base left in the late third quarter. It was empty. The entire stadium was filled with Texas A&M fans doing their chants and whoops and hand motions and whatever it is that they do. They played Colin Baton Rouge. It was silent in there. I've seen LSU lose to UAB. I've seen them lose to Troy. I've seen Nick Saban shut them out. I've seen Nick Saban break their hearts. I've never seen what I saw on Saturday, and I think that got some people's attention in a big way, and all of a sudden there was a change less than 20 hours later.
When did you know that Brian Kelly was not going to reach the heights that his predecessors, Ogeron, Miles, and Saban did?
It felt like the loss at Vanderbilt 2 weeks ago that essentially sealed this team's fate was important because you realize that right out of the chute, he was dealt a pretty tough hand. LSU was down to 30-some-odd scholarship players, and you didn't have very high expectations in year one, and he won the SEC West. And so the next year you came back and you had Jaden Daniels, who won the Heisman Trophy that year, and you had Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, and you had a high-flying offense, but you fielded the worst defense in the history of the school. So they had to go back and try to fix that whole thing. Well, then Jaden Daniels is gone, and Malik Nabers is gone, and Brian Thomas is gone, and they've never recreated that offensive balance. But you feel like you had a pretty good core coming back this year, so they went in the transfer portal and spent a ton of money and thought, okay, well, we've got the roster now. You've got the coaching staff in place now. Like, this is the team that needs to go achieve. And you lost at Ole Miss, and you lost to Vanderbilt, and you got annihilated by Texas A&M. There's really not a lot to suggest you're going to Tuscaloosa and winning. You might not beat Arkansas, who scores a ton of points. All of a sudden, you're looking at 7-5, 6-6 for the team that had everything lined up. And at that point, you realize that it's toast. And because they lost that game to Vanderbilt and the way that they had played offensively, you just didn't feel like they were going to fix it. And at that point, when you've got all the resources pointed to one year, that one year is a failure, it starts to become pretty obvious.
Right. And we kind of talked about this at the top of the segment, how like a lot of people are talking about the fit and how like even from the jump when Brian Kelly was doing that like weird accent, it just felt like it never really matched. But at the end of the day, if he would have won games, I don't think people would have cared. Was there ever a moment or ever like a week where people actually liked Brian Kelly? Like, I'm looking at the fan base now and it feels like he is not very liked, even with some of these tweets coming out with former players. Did people ever really like him?
They liked him when he beat Nick Saban the first year. that was a big deal. LSU had not beaten Alabama in Tiger Stadium since 2010, and he did it in 2022. It had been 12 years. But, I mean, I have pushed back against some of the national stuff with Fit and the accent thing. I talk into a microphone for 10 hours every week, and I slur words all the time. I'm comfortable suggesting that it's reasonable that Brian Kelly probably didn't think he was going to trick 10,000 LSU fans into the fact that he had a Southern accent. I don't know that that's what he thought. That, to me, was a little bit overblown. It's funny to people, and I get it's a Twitter clip, whatever. But the deal is that, like, Dale Brown is the winningest basketball coach ever at LSU. He went to two Final Fours, coached Shaq. He came from Washington State, and he's a native of North Dakota. Skip Bertman is a legend in this town. He is a Jewish man that never left South Florida, coming right into South Louisiana, which is the heart of Catholic country. Nick Saban was a career Midwesterner who fit in great here. Jay Johnson is a celebrity here, coaching LSU's baseball team. He's won two national championships. He never left the West Coast his entire life. Like, there's no better fit than Ed Ogeron. He got fired 5 minutes after he won a national championship. They hired Johnny Jones, who played and coached here for basketball. It was a complete disaster. Like, fit is winning games. I don't care where you're from, mm-hmm. what you sound like, what your history is. And Brian Kelly he won some, but 8 or 9 is not going to get it in this era. And certainly Saturday night was the end of the line.
So they let him go on Sunday. You kind of get to, I guess, as a fan base, bask in the glory of, hey, the guy that we don't like is now gone. But now you have to hire somebody that can be better than him, Hunt. As you look around the landscape, who are some of the options that you think LSU is going to seriously inquire about bringing in?
It's early and quite often.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Honestly, as y'all mentioned at the top of the segment here, like, there are some things that have to happen before LSU hires a football coach. One, they've got to get a university president in place. That's going to happen in the next 2.5 weeks. They're going to present a top five here shortly, and I think that'll be approved sometime in mid-November. At that point, determination's got to be made about Scott Woodward's future as the athletic director. And, you know, it's possible that you get one swing at a football coach. It didn't work. The buyout's massive, and the powers that be say that was your only chance, and they move in a different direction there. Maybe not, but maybe so. That decision's yet to be made, I think. And then you got to determine who's making this hire. And then you got to make the hire. So, like, that makes things difficult down here for sure. But as far as names to look at, like, everybody's going to talk about Lane Kiffin. I've got a column that's going to post up at our site, LouisianaSports.net, here in an hour that suggests the timing might be slippery on that because I think they're going 11-1. They're either going to play a home game on December the 19th, bye until New Year's Day. Do you think LSU is going to wait until New Year's Day, or do you think Lane Kiffin's going to walk away from a playoff team before they take the field? Like, that's iffy. And you talk about the national signing days in December. The transfer portal opens January 2nd. It's just like that's a lot of waiting to do. I think that there's reason to believe that John Summerall from Tulane could get a phone call. I personally would call Clark Lee at Vanderbilt because I think he's just so polished and such a people person and motivator. He's at his alma mater. What does that mean? So I think there are a lot of names to consider. I don't think there's a cookie cutter mold that you've got to have. And I'm curious to see, one, how the next 3 weeks plays out with LSU's powers that be, and then two, what starts to happen, I think, probably in early December. It's a wild time. We went through a lot of years down here with no coaching searches. Les Miles was here for a long time. Now all of a sudden you're going to be on your third one in pretty short order.
And it's wild to me the amount of high-profile jobs that are now available with Penn State, with Florida, and, of course, with LSU. Do you think LSU is the best job available for, you know, incoming coaches when it...
I do think LSU is the best of those jobs. The job market, though, is completely different than it was 15 years ago. Like, you're looking at a time right now where three of the teams with the best chance to make the playoffs and maybe make even a run are Indiana, Vanderbilt, and Georgia Tech. Like, that just was not the case if you look at this thing 15, 10 years ago. I think that LSU is a phenomenal job. I think it comes with a lot of expectations. And I think there are probably some coaches that feel like when it would have been a no-brainer to leave Vanderbilt or Indiana or Georgia Tech for LSU 10 years ago. Is it that now? If you feel like you can do everything you need to do in this landscape at those places? But LSU's got an amazing tradition, an incredible fan base and facilities. It's in a prestigious conference with a lot of money, and the proof is that, you know, three of the last four coaches have won national championships at LSU, so it can certainly be done. You can do it at Florida and Penn State as well, but I think LSU is attractive, but there are drawbacks like the administration and the fact that if you don't win 10 or 11 games in most years, you'll be fine.
So, Hunt, if we look back to Saturday, you know, the Beige Cult is doing their dance. They're taking over the stadium. Was Saturday more about LSU being bad, or is it time to admit, both you and I, that Texas A&M is actually really good?
A&M's good. What I think about this A&M team, and look, this is a team that was on the ropes against Arkansas 2 weeks ago. It's a team that was on the ropes against a bad Auburn team as well. The team that was one holding call away from losing Notre Dame, too. So the thing about Texas A&M, and really everybody in college football, the Saban firewall is not there anymore. The Kirby Smart, steamroller freight train from 4 or 5 years ago is not there anymore. Ryan Day's Ohio State team is very good, and maybe they're in that class, but maybe they're not. There was a run of 15 years where if you weren't, without any holes, you weren't going to go beat Nick Saban. It took Cam Newton or Joe Burrow or Johnny Manziel. I mean, that's who, or Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson, to beat him. And now it just feels like there are a lot more teams that have a shot to get this done. And that's what I think helps a team like Indiana, helps a team like playing Texas A&M that maybe wasn't going to stand toe-to-toe with Nick Saban's team in 2012 or in 2020, but they can certainly stand toe-to-toe with anybody now.
All right, so before we let you go quickly, you had mentioned you were writing an article that's coming out in about an hour. Where can the listeners find this?
LouisianaSports.net. It's completely free. It's a site that we launched from our radio group back a year ago that we cover the Saints, cover LSU, cover SEC football, and we actually had the story on Brian Kelly being fired first, and I'll write a column that comes up about the timing issues and really the changing landscape of college football and why that. And Lane Kiffin, who probably would have crawled to Baton Rouge in 2021 last time this job was open but didn't get a phone call, may not be – the timing may not work for LSU and Lane Kiffin to work. So we'll see.
Crazy times in college football, and he covers it all in Baton Rouge. He is Hunt Palmer, host of the Hunt Palmer Show. Thank you for your time. We know you are extremely busy with this coaching search.
I appreciate you all for having me. Have a great day. Thanks.
All right. I don't know if that site has a message board, but if you want to be entertained, go to those like college websites and look at the message boards. Holy crap. That is some entertainment.
I mean, one of the best follows on Twitter is the college football Reddit page, where they just scour all of these teams' Reddits, and you see the craziest, most inane things that are being said. It's just like a weekly thing. It's a Tuesday, and there it's the craziest thing. So I know in Baton Rouge they're feeling it. Also, I'm kicking myself, Chelsea, that I didn't ask him about this. Did you see the videos of Brian Kelly, you know, leaving the facility? Yes. I didn't know that there were paparazzi in Baton Rouge, because it sure looked like the person that was taking that video was like hiding in a bush. This feels like new territory for the state of Louisiana.
I don't think it is, though, because like football is a religion down there. Like, you heard the thing about the governor. Like, everybody is involved. This is the biggest single issue in the state. It just means more in the SEC when it comes to these coaching searches. So it's really not surprising at all to me. Like, I covered football in the state of Alabama. Those people are crazy.
Crazy. They were going to win the lottery and buy out Kalen DeBoer. You're not going to do that now, are you? No.
And that's why you shouldn't have the fans in charge of who coaches your team. Maybe a little flighty, but they are passionate. And that's why it does mean more in the SEC. All right, coming up next, the biggest betting lessons we learned from Monday Night Football. Are the Chiefs going to win the Super Bowl again this year? All right, we'll talk about that next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.